Hello, everyone, and welcome to another preview here on the Cycling Dane. We are today looking at the World Championships road race. And as always, I'm joined by Mr. Gregor himself, Ewan Wilson. Great to have you here, Ewan. And the road race, the World Championships, the rainbow jersey, the biggest prize for some people in cycling. And last year we had Julien Philippe win it for a second year in a row. But World Championships this year. How are you feeling about it?
Well, the battle for the rainbow jersey is always exciting. It's one of the most coveted jerseys in this sport. If you win this one race, put yourself through 7 hours of hell, you get to wear the iconic rainbow jersey for a whole year, or in this case, 11 months. So it's always an absolute bun fight to win this race. Every country wants to try its hardest to protect their rider and bring them home the bacon, the glory, that rainbow jersey. This year, we're heading down to Australia for the first time in 12 years. As we go to New South Wales and Wollongong on the Pacific coast. So I'm very excited for this one. And I'm excited to dive deep into the riders and the routes of the World Championships.
And judging by the year Julien Philippe has had this year, the winner will also get the curse of the rainbow jersey with that jersey with them. But nevertheless, Ewan, what does the 2022 World Road Race Championships course look like?
The total length of the route is 266 kilometers. For people who aren't really aware of the sport, that is very similar to the lengths of the like of Ronde van Vlaanderen, Lombardia, and Liège-Bastogne-Liège. Similarly, the total elevation gain of this year's course is 4,100 meters, which is very similar to Liège-Bastogne-Liège, as well as stage 11 of this year's Tour de France, the Col du Granon stage, where Vingegaard turned the tables on Tadej Pogacar. The route, like many world championships, will be a circuit. There's 12 laps of a 17-kilometer long course. We have three main climbs on this route: Mount Owsley, which is 500 meters at 7.2%, Mount Pleasant, which is 880 meters at 9.8%, and finally Broker's Road, which is 100 meters at a leg-breaking 10%. That one is quite the kicker. The main bulk of these climbs comes in the middle of this circuit, which means once we get onto our final lap, these sort of quick succession of climbs will come with roughly 10 kilometers to go. From there, we dive down to the Pacific coastline, where we take a couple of corners, make our way along the beachfront before our final sprint in Wollongong, which does have a little bit of a bend with 100 meters to go, which could make the sprinting very, very interesting indeed. Note being, the route and style of racing is quite similar to North America. So that will be the World Championships of 2022, a fascinating course in Australia with plenty of climbing, plenty to offer. This could be the GC guys, the classics riders, maybe even a hardy sprinter.
So anyways, Ewan, where best to start than with last year's champion in Flanders, who hasn't had the best year by his standards, but Julien Philippe is coming with a very strong team representing France once again. And how are you feeling? Pavel Sivakov is a rider of note here as well.
Yes, Sivakov will be making his debut under the Bleu, Blanc et Rouge, which is fantastic for him. But this nation, it's all about Alaphilippe, we believe. Two-time champion, Imola in 2020 with the COVID World Championships, and last year, heroically in Leuven, after attacking away on the Sint-Antoniusberg. It was an absolutely fantastic race last year, and France orchestrated it perfectly. I think what France has, and not many other teams in this World Championship has, is a wonderful morale, a group that's just been working together and together for the past couple of years. France worked to perfection 12 months ago, and I have a feeling they're going to do very similar here. One key part of that team is missing. Bruno Cosnefroy, who just won in Quebec last week, will not be going to the World Championships. He was a key figure for Alaphilippe last year, even going viral after the race, partying with Alaphilippe and Thomas Vauclair, the team director for the World Championships. Looking down this start list, yes, of course, Alaphilippe. We also have Romain Bardet, who's ridden well in the World Championships in the past. Christophe Laporte, who had a fantastic Tour de France, as well as Valentin Madouas, who podiumed at the Ronde van Vlaanderen earlier this year. If Alaphilippe shows the strength that he showed during the opening week of this Vuelta a España, I think he's got a very good chance of doing well. Alaphilippe pulled something out of the bag when we weren't expecting it last year. France are going to come into this with morale very high. They have a good squad, and they're going to try very hard to deliver Alaphilippe all the way to the end. I also have a feeling that we might have a little bit of a wild card on this squad. I just mentioned him earlier on, Valentin Madouas. He has just won a stage, a hilly stage in the Tour of Luxembourg, and he's shown this year that he can climb with the best. He's 10th, stroke 11th, at this year's Tour de France in the general classification, as well as finishing right up there at the Ronde van Vlaanderen. So for me, Madouas is a very good get out of jail card. But Alaphilippe, if he shows the form that he has shown many, many times in one day racing, he's very hard to beat.
Well, I should have known that you were going to mention Madouas, but I completely agree. Across the board, it's a very interesting team. Julien Alaphilippe is probably the one I have the least faith in, courtesy of his crash. But Christophe Laporte, we can't not mention him. He feels like after changing from Cofidis to Jumbo-Visma, he's become a whole new rider. Winning a stage in Tour de France, what he did at Paris-Nice as well. And then obviously I'm going to talk about Tour of Denmark where he won it, which was a bit weird, but he won the toughest stage, the Queen's stage of the Tour of Denmark, which is nothing to go by, but it's still something. He's not just this sprinter hardy man. He can do something, but I'm not sure if he can live up to a world championship.
Yeah, so Laporte has never finished a world championship race that he started. He started three, never finished. Looking as well to this race, it's almost identical in terms of elevation gain to Liège-Bastogne-Liège. He's never started that race. He's only ever been sent to Sanremo and Ronde van Vlaanderen, which have roughly half of the elevation gain of this world championship course and Liège-Bastogne-Liège. I'm not convinced this is a Laporte route, but he showed very, very good form in the Tour de France, climbing very, very strongly there. But I think there will be all hands on deck for Alaphilippe and potentially for Madouas, or maybe even Sivakov, who finished in a very strong position at the Classic of San Sebastian as well this year. And he pulled out of the Vuelta with COVID, but he was completely asymptomatic, so he may be up there contending testing this one for France.
So anyways, we can't not talk about a certain rider and the team. Belgium are coming with a very strong team. And Ewan, Wout van Aert and Remco Evenepoel, they seem like they weren't on the same page last year. But how do you see Belgium playing this one?
Yeah, last year in Leuven, it was all a bit of a drama. Yeah, there was a war of words in the media afterwards about who the team was working for, what was the right strategy, yada, yada, yada. It all got quite nasty. And I don't think either of these two personalities really seem to see eye to eye, but they are starting on the same start list at this year's World Championships. Wout is, of course, one of the favorites. He's one of the most consistent one-day racers of the year. In every single race, it seems like he's up there in contention for it. Even last week in Quebec, he was up there on the podium in a Ploué. At the end of August, he also won that one in a sprint. Those are similar sort of styles of one-day racing. We know he has the climbing legs. We saw him in the Tour de France. We've seen it in the past at Liège. This year, he finished in third place. He has what it takes to do well on a profile like this. Nobody will want to drag him to the line in a sprint, given that he's probably one of the fastest contenders in this race. What does worry me is this recent sort of set of results in reduced bunch sprints. Given that he is one of the quickest sprinters in the world on his day, when we went to Hamburg earlier this year, he was outdone by Marco Haller in a sprint. Marco Haller of Bora Hansgrohe. At Montreal last week, Tadej Pogacar beat him in a sprint. Yes, it was at 4% of an uphill, but still, Wout was on the best wheel. Wout sort of went down the group in order to have a better wheel to follow coming into the sprint, and Pogacar was simply too strong. Wout was cracking on the climbs and in the final sprint didn't have it left in the tank. That profile is very similar. A lot of the favorites for the World Championships went to Montreal because the profile and elevation gain was very similar. So if he can't quite deliver on that profile, how is he going to do in the World Championships? Well, it will be different. However, we have plenty of other characters to talk about in this team. Remco Evenepoel has a very good chance. This race might be one of those sort of classics where it does come down to the GC guys. We've seen it in the past where the GC guys, these climbers, do distill to the top in certain one-day races. Remco might benefit from this. If he's up there in the front, well, we know what Remco can do. He can attack away with 40 kilometers to go and win it. He did that at Liège this year. However, he can't do this in a group. Remco Evenepoel does not have the strongest sprint out there. He will need to go solo, which will make it quite difficult attacking with 10 kilometers to go, whilst we have the likes of Pogacar and so forth being the rivals here. Pogacar, who was not at Liège-Bastogne-Liège this year. I think Belgium, though, Scott, have a problem. The World Championships, it's a race of many chapters. We see sort of group squad with 80 kilometers to go that seem a bit futile, but they force other countries to chase, the countries that aren't involved in the move, or if there's one sort of slightly threatening rider. Last year, we saw Belgium not really get involved in that many moves early in the day. Belgium haven't been the best team at the World Championships in the past. It's been 10 years since they last won the road race with Philippe Gilbert, and that all came down to the final climb, for instance. this year, I think it's going to be a lot harder for them to control. I think all eyes will be on them because they have Wout and Remco. Maybe we need to look towards their number three, Quinten Hermans, to deliver a strong result. He finished second place at Liège-Bastogne-Liège, out-sprinting Wout van Aert in a reduced bunch sprint. Whilst all the eyes were on Wout and Remco like they were last year, we might see Quinten Hermans deliver a really, really good result for Belgium. But I'm not quite convinced this is a guaranteed rainbow jersey for the Kingdom of Belgium.
Yeah, I think you touched on some very good points. Yeah, well, with the course having the same elevation as Liège-Bastogne-Liège and them having the podium, essentially, it definitely looks very good. But it is kind of the Brazil of football. They have so many superstars and it's like, are they going to be able to work together? We saw last year, not quite. Even the victory with Philippe Gilbert, there was a hesitation of Tom Bonin not really wanting to play the team card either. So I think Belgium have always had this problem with maybe too many big egos in the team, courtesy of them being the homeland of cycling in some respect. But yeah, Jasper Stuyven, the names on there is incredible, but I agree completely. Remco Evenepoel, Wout van Aert, but you touched on a very good point. And the next rider we're going to talk about, Tadej Pogačar, and he's going to be leading Slovenia. But Ewan, yeah, Remco, he's done this attack off the front so many times now. It's almost getting tiring to watch. He's done it since he was a junior, but it seems to work. But do you think Tadej Pogačar is the rider who can stop this kind of a long-range attack and meet it? He's done long-range attacks himself as well.
He has. Remember back at Ronde van Vlaanderen? He was the guy who attacked with Van der Poel following suit. And that attack lasted all the way to the line. Yes, they played in the final couple of kilometers, which allowed Matthews to come back. But Pogačar is a real racer. He has this killer instinct. And when he sniffs out a victory, he very often gets it. Pogačar has two monument victories to his name and the podium finish at Liège-Bastogne-Liège in 2020. He's one of the best one-day racers that we have here. Also forgetting the fact that he won Strada Bianca this year with a long-range attack with 100 kilometers to go. Pogačar, I think, is the favorite for this. Yes, Wout van Aert is up there as well, but Pogačar, given that he won in Montreal last week, I think gives him that edge. He's a good sprinter as well. We have to bear this in mind. If it does come down to a reduced bunch sprint, Pogačar has won many of them. From his first Tour de France stage win in La Reims, where he beat the likes of Roglic and Egan Bernal in a reduced sprint, to when he won Lombardia, to when he won Liège last year, he likes these small bunch sprints. Pogačar has a very, 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 very good chance in this World Championship road race, and he shouldn't throw it away. I know what many of you are thinking. Well, Belgium's better on paper. That's true. But Belgium have many cooks in the kitchen, as we have spoken about. Slovenia only have one, really, with Pogačar. I think it's maybe a good thing that we don't have Mohoric and Primož here to sort of cloud the leadership game, but as well, they would have been very good teammates. But looking down the start list, we have Domen Novak, who rode really, really strongly in the Tour of Slovenia. He will be Pogačar's teammate next year. We also have a very informed Jan Polans and Jan Tratnik, who knows Pogačar well. Tratnik was fantastic riding for Pogačar in other international races in the past, and I think he'll do very well here once again, particularly given how strong of a classics campaign he himself had with Bahrain Victorious this year. So I think Pogačar's in a very, very good position to do well. Given that we have Wout van Aert as a favorite, though, I don't quite know if he'll outsprint him on that flat profile that we're going to see in Wollongong. But if Wout is out the mix, Pogačar's one of the best sprinters in this pack.
Yeah, I really think Belgium need to play together if they're going to be doing anything against a certain Tadej Pogačar. But we can't mention Tadej Pogačar and Wout van Aert without mentioning Mathieu van der Poel and the Dutch team that are also coming. A very strong team here with Mathieu van der Poel, Dylan van Baal, one of them as well, the Paris-Roubaix winner, Bauke Mollema. And yeah, Ewan, this is a very strong team that they're sending.
We're almost spoiled for choice thinking about the previous four riders we've been headlining with, all Strada Bianca winners. They might have one thing in common here. Mathieu van der Poel. Yes, okay. He retired from the Tour de France. We haven't seen much of him since, which does make it a little bit hard to see where van der Poel is at. He was at this race the other week, the Ezegem Classic, which some analysts on Twitter, these sort of the kind of guys who look at all the rider data and make a graph out of it. One of those guys was obsessing over the fact that Mathieu van der Poel had one of his best ever efforts at the Ezegem race, which, I mean, didn't have the highest caliber field. He beat Yves Lampaert, to be fair, but van Van der Poel there apparently was very, very good, and we could see that as a sign of confidence coming into this UCI World Road Race Championships. This course does suit him. In the past, he's only done one Liège-Bastogne-Liège, which once again is the profile that suits this race the most, and he came in sixth place in that COVID one that was won by Primož Roglič. So he certainly can ride on a profile like this in the length and with the hills. On paper, it suits him. However, you never know with Van der Poel in a World Championships. We've seen him at Yorkshire just blow up in the end. Last year, he wasn't the favoured son for the Dutch. I'm not quite so confident. I really want to see it. I think Van der Poel deserves the rainbow jersey. I think he would honour it with such flair next year. But on the other hand, the Netherlands have two quite rogue cards to play here. Dylan van Baarle, who, yeah, we haven't seen him at Liège-Bastogne-Liège, but he's a really good climber as well. Very, very good racer who finished in second place last year. And we weren't really looking at him. Similar with Roubaix this year. He wasn't really our number one guest, but sometimes he just pulls a result out. I could see this with Van Baarle here. And also, Bauke Mollema, similarly, a rider who just pulls out a result when you least expect it. So you never know with the Netherlands, but I'd love to see Van der Poel get it. I think everyone wants to see Van der Poel.
Yeah, I think everyone. I think either, yeah, well, you wouldn't want to see Wout, but I think either of them would be very
popular. Wout would be extremely popular, and I think he deserves it given all he's done to cycling. Similar for Van der Poel, similar for Pogacar. I think any of these...
Give them a stripe each. But yeah, well, we can't not focus on the home nation as well. Australia. Okay, your face says a different story. But Australia, they are bringing Michael Matthews, who has finished on the podium before in the Worlds. And he's been quite good in Amstel Gold in the past as well. He's got a good kick to him. He's normally able to follow the punchier climbers. And if he gets down to a group sprint, I think he could be one of the danger men here. But there was also the story of Caleb Ewan not being in the squad, which was a huge debacle as well. And a bit of a shame really for him.
Yeah, I'm just looking at his results. Now, 27th in Bretagne. It's a race he's won in the past. Second in Quebec, which is strong for him. 13th in Montreal. Michael Matthews likes a hardy profile. It would be great to see a home victory. We haven't seen one in a while. But I just don't think he's got the edge in 2022 to take this. His team is made up of a lot of really strong climbers who might actually just grind down the field once we get to these steeper climbs, because the likes of Belgium are bringing Stan de Wolf and Yves Lampaert, who might drop quite quickly early on if Australia send Ben O'Connor, Jai Hindley, Luke Plapel towards the front. That's going to hurt the field early on. If Michael Matthews can weather the storm, certainly he could be there. Michael Matthews, I think, is one of the few people in this race who could probably challenge Wout van Aert if it does come down to a sprint with both of them involved. So I wish Australia all the best, but I just don't think it's going to be their year.
2008, last home winner, Alessandro Bellan.
And that was a huge moment, but that was also mathematics 14 years ago.
So anyways, just considering some of the outsiders, Joao Almeida, who's coming off a very strong performance at the Vuelta España, is coming here, leading the Portuguese team, we think. And then obviously the Norwegians are here as well, who are normally quite good at the Worlds. But the team that I'm really focused on that I hope do really well is the Eritrean team, who have, of course, have a cluster of superstars now. Mara Ikudo's coming, and Tesfasyon, and of course, Vinny Gomai. They're looking to do something here. I have to mention Denmark as well. Alexander Kamp could do very well at this race. And Magnus Cortland.
Exactly. But, Denmark. In fact, Scandinavia had a very good run last time we were in Australia. They took the gold and the silver with Thor Hushovd and with Matti Breskel. So they have a very good chance. In terms of historical links, but I'm not quite convinced it's going to happen this year. I'd like to see Rasmus Tiller maybe try to be up there in the mix, but this profile might be a little bit too hard for him. Well, we saw Tobias Foss as well have a good performance in Montreal. Looking at other outsiders, looking towards Spain, Juan Ayuso, we don't quite know how good he is as a one-day racer, but given his Vuelta a España form, he might be up there as well. Nielsen Paulus has performed well at the World Championships in the past, and he's been doing well in one-day racing recently, but he did have a crash recently in the Quebecois Classics. But apart from that, I think we are going to see a battle of the real Galacticos. But then we said that last year, and it was a little bit more of a wide-open race.
So anyways, finishing on predictions as always, Ewan, what is your 2022 World Championships podium? Where is the Curse of the Rainbow jersey going for you?
It's going to be an interesting race. I think it's going to be a lot harder than people are expecting. I think Wout and Van der Poel might be tested a little bit too hard. So I think that this will be a reduced group of strong climbers and sort of paint-by-numbers classics punchers. In that case, I think third place will go to Remco Evenepoel of Belgium. I think second place will go to Valentin Madouas of France. And the winner will be Tadej Pogacar, who wins the sprint behind to take the rainbow jersey. Wout van Aert keeps letting me down on these high-level races. He is always, he's missed a silver medal at the World Championships and at the Olympics and so forth. So in terms of road racing, I just can't say it. I just can't say what Wout's going to do. I think Pogacar is going to shock the world and get it.
Who saw that coming? Madouas and Pogacar on your podium. But nevertheless, for my podium, I'm going to say third place, Mathieu van der Poel. Second place, Alexander Kamp of Køge of Denmark. And the winner will be Remco Evenepoel, first rider to do the double in the World Championship. Well, that's assuming that he's already won the time trial. So...
yeah.
Never been done before. Is Remco going to be the first one?
Well, we said the same for Wout last year. Come on.
That was super close though.
Yeah.
But anyways, that's basically it for this video. Thank you very much for watching. Make sure to drop down below what you have thought in terms of who you think is going to win the rainbow jersey. And as always, make sure to subscribe to the channel and we will see you around.